I offer my respectful obeisances to the Gita, which was spoken by the Lord, who is endowed with perfect qualities. It is a work by which the ocean of ignorance meets its complete end, by which pure bhakti becomes fully nourished to the highest degree, and by which the supreme truth, normally difficult to understand, becomes eternally manifest. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. So who can give us a summary of the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita? In brief, what is it all about? Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita. Four shlokas. So what are they all about?
The first one is Krishna is the source of everything.
Krishna is the source of everything. Mm-hmm. That's all? Is that all in the first verse? Those who know that, worship him. How? With all their hearts, with love. This actually describes the intelligent people. They have perfect knowledge and they have come to the perfect conclusion, and so they worship Krishna, and not only this, but they worship him. Ultimately, they obtain love for him. Okay, and then we said that this Chaturshloki is divided into two parts. What was it? Okay. Mm-hmm. The devotee, what they do, their symptoms, their characteristics, and how Krishna reciprocates with them. All right. So the second verse, this was about what? The characteristics of the devotees. And what was very important about that? Mostly, I mean, yes, ultimately, they engage in those processes. Their mind is fully fixed on Krishna. They remember him. Yeah, they experience full happiness and satisfaction. They do not take any happiness from the external world. They are fully satisfied. They enjoy within. From the very beginning of their spiritual life, they enjoy Krishna consciousness. They enjoy their relationship with Krishna. In the beginning, they appreciate some external aspects. They enjoy serving him in different ways. And then in the perfected stage, they actually activate their relationship with him on the transcendental platform. What else was very important about that? The association of devotees. The fact that they nourish each other. They receive their nourishment from Krishna. But how they do that is also through the association of the devotees. And we should understand from this the importance of devotee association. And this is also teaching us what we should do in the association of devotees. We should not just sit around and talk about the weather. We should talk about Krishna. Then the nourishment will come, and then we will appreciate the association of the devotees. So when we associate with the devotees on the spiritual platform through hearing and chanting, we come to know the spiritual nature of the devotee. And we appreciate that. And when we talk about the weather, we come to know about the material nature of the devotee and the weather. And we come to know so many faults. So it is very important to associate on the spiritual platform with the devotees. To develop an internal appreciation, to be able to see the devotee. We have to see the devotee in the person. Because it's easy to just get stuck on the nature the external nature of the person. The other day we were talking that it's like the devotee sometimes is like a moon. Like the moon has spots, black spots on the moon, so the devotee also sometimes has black spots. But if we associate with the devotees in a spiritual way, then we will be able to take advantage of the light that is also coming from the devotee and not just the spots. So, and what about the third verse? Krishna, what does he do? Yes, how? What does he do? He guides our intelligence. Guides our intelligence. Yes. He gives us intelligence by which we can progress further, by which we can know him. And what was the qualification? To get that understanding?
Sincere
service. And also constant. Constant. And sincere, that's why it said priti purvakam, that it should be not for one's own benefit, but it should be with love for Krishna. And then number... Text number 11, the fourth verse, what happened in there? This was a very interesting verse of how Krishna works on the devotee. He gives mercy.
How he does it.
And how he does it, yes. So how does he do it? Anyone remember?
As a lamp and a light in the heart.
The light, yeah, he stands like a light in the heart which will take out the darkness. What else did we explain about this?
He feels compassion.
Yes, he leans towards his devotees, it says in Srimad Bhagavatam. He feels compassion for his endeavoring devotee, sincere devotee who is serving him, and therefore he comes... He manifests in their heart as the destroyer of darkness. So he removes the ignorance. And now we see that this is exactly what is happening to Arjuna in this chapter. And then the next chapter, Arjuna, who thought that Krishna was his friend, is now going to actually have his ignorance removed and is going to appreciate Krishna as the Supreme Person. So we are hearing, we said, from text 11 to 18, Arjuna's beginning to have a change of heart. As we know, he's going to have the real change of heart when... When is Arjuna going to have his complete change of heart? When he sees the universal form? Sorry? When he starts fighting, yes. In the end of the Bhagavad Gita, when he says, I will do as you say. Then he's really like, that's realized knowledge. Now I agree. I will do. He agrees to serve. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, you just have to agree, that's all. But we don't agree most of the time. So here, we listen to Arjuna, how he accepts Krishna, and then he has a request. He hasn't been speaking for some time. Now he is going to express himself. So this is how Arjuna accepts Krishna as the Lord, which means also... Prabhupada explains how we should accept Krishna after hearing all these explanations from him. Arjuna vacha param brahma param dhama pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shasvatam divyam adidevam acham vibhum ahustva varshaya sarve devarshir naradastatha asito devalo vyasa svayam cheva vabhrishime. Arjun said, the first verse is his realizations. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma. You are the ultimate abode, Param Dhamma. You are the purest, Pavitram Paramam. The absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person. So he is the Purusham, Shasvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, the unborn Ajam, the greatest Vibhum. So this is his realization in the first verse. This is what he has understood. This is what he is accepting from Krishna. And then in the next verse, he refers to others who had already told him that before. He had already heard it from others. But now he is hearing it from Krishna himself. So who is that? All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyasa confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. So first we will deal with his acceptance. Yeah, he is receiving Krishna in his heart and accepting him. Param Brahma. Srila Prabhupada says this is very significant. Why is it significant that he calls Krishna Param Brahma? He is the Supreme Brahman, yes. So what does it mean? That? Bigger than the impersonal Brahman. And what is one more thing? Yes, what does Prabhupada explain about this? Different from the jiva. Yes, that Prabhupada takes this here to explain Param Brahma, because Param Brahma in the Shastra, it really refers to the Supreme Person. Brahman usually refers to the impersonal Brahman, and Brahman also refers to the jiva. And sometimes Brahman also refers to the Lord. But when there is a talk of Parabrahma, the Param Brahma, so that is not the jiva. And that is not the impersonal Brahman. This refers to the Supreme Lord. So here Prabhupada says that Krishna is taking... in these two verses, the Supreme Lord gives a chance to the modern philosopher, for here it is clear that the Supreme is different from the individual soul. So this is how we have to take it here. And also in the sense that he is addressing Krishna as Bhavan, you. He's saying clearly, you are. He doesn't say we are. You know, he didn't have that kind of realization that we are the Parabrahman. No, it's you. So he's isolating Krishna as a person and saying that you are the Supreme Person, not me, not all these kings, you. So Prabhupada in the purport is giving some references from the Shruti to back up some of his statements, like Param Dhamma, which means he is the rest of everything. Everything lives within him is the Dham. Prabhupada refers that these statements are made in the Kena Upanishad, wherein it says that the Supreme Brahman is the rest for everything. In the Mundaka Upanishad as well, it is said that the Supreme Lord in whom everything is resting can be realized only by those who engage constantly in thinking of him. So these are Prabhupada trying to refer to the Shruti. Then he is Paramam Pavitram, the Supreme Pure. We heard that in the Ishopanishad, if you remember. Prabhupada says, in the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is accepted as the purest. So since we have read the Vedas, Ishopanishad, so we know. Yes, yes, in Ishopanishad it says like this. What does it say? In Ishopanishad? Shuddham, Apapavidham. These two words are there in Ishopanishad, and Prabhupada explains this so nicely, how he is antiseptic. And Prabhupada also says here, one cannot be disinfected from sinful activity. Disinfected, Prabhupada says. So this is the idea that he is antiseptic. He cleans from all different impurities. He removes all impurities. But him, and because he is so pure, nothing can contaminate him. So he is completely pure, is uncontaminated, and he removes all contamination. And there was something more that Prabhupada said in Ishopanishad, is that not only he purifies, but he makes one immune. Once you have been purified by Krishna, the dirt cannot come back. You become immune. And then Prabhupada gives even yet something else, that someone who has been purified by Krishna, who became immune to material contamination, that person acquires the same quality as Krishna. And he himself can purify others and can in turn make them immune. And this starts a chain of, it's actually the Guru Parampara, a chain of liberated souls who act on behalf of Krishna, having been purified by him and empowered by him to purify others. He uses the term in Ishopanishad, prophylactic, which you have to look in the dictionary to understand. So, then he says, Purusham Shasvatam Divyam, that he is the original transcendental enjoyer. Adi Devam, which means that he is the origin of the demigods, he is the first person, the original person. Ajam is unborn, and Vibhum, as we know it means, the greatest. Then he backs up his realization with references from great sages, which were actually contemporaries of that time. Vyasadeva, we know he was there at the time of Arjuna. And the others also, Asita Rishi, he was a contemporary of Vyasa. He was present during the coronation of Yudhishthira. All these great sages were there. Then there is Devala. He was also there. As we understand, Devala was the elder brother of Dhamya. You know Dhamya? He was the priest of the Pandavas. But they were all very, very saintly people. And of course, Narada Muni, who would come in and out. So, he had heard this before from all these sages. But because of his friendship with Krishna, he was, he knew more or less, yes, we heard it, Krishna is God, right? But first, he's my friend. First, he was his friend. And as we know, those who are intimate associates of Krishna they are covered over. They are covered over by whom? The internal potency of Krishna, so that they do not, they are not fully aware that Krishna is God. Otherwise their relationship would not be able, would not be natural, it would not be able to unfold. So he had heard all these things, but you know, some days he knew it, some days he didn't know it. And also Prabhupada says that he's not just flattering his friend, Prabhupada says. Because we could say, well, you know, they are friends, they are just puffing up each other, you know, you are so great, Arjun Mahabahu, this, that, and now he calls the other one God. What is this? It is not that because Krishna is Arjuna's intimate friend, that Arjuna is flattering him by calling him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, he says, I'm not the only one. There are great sages. So if you remember in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was referring to some Shastras. So again here, this time he is referring to some sages, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So just to make us understand that this is actually this reminds us of a verse which was in the fourth chapter. Ajo pisan navyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritin swamadistaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Krishna had told him that, and now he is realizing this. Oh, right, that's what you said. And how is he realizing this? Prabhupada is explaining this in the last purport. How is he realizing this? Because he has come under the internal potency. This is what has happened. As we said, that these four verses, whatever was explained, Arjun went through this, and Krishna started taking over and manifesting in his intelligence. Prabhupada says, here Arjuna expresses himself through the grace of Krishna. So he is not speaking of his own. He is under Krishna's influence. If we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we should accept the statements in these two verses. This is called the parampara system, acceptance of the disciplic succession. Unless we accept the disciplic succession, beginning with Arjuna, and we cannot understand Krishna. So in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada had particularly picked these shlokas to explain us how knowledge comes down in Guru Parampara and how we should receive the Bhagavad Gita the way Arjuna received it. So in the next verse, 14, we hear more of how to receive this Bhagavad Gita. Sarvametadhritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur devanadanavah. O Krishna, Keshava, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. So how is this Bhagavad Gita to be accepted? Sarvam etad ritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava. Whatever you tell me, I accept it as truth. Ritam. Ritam means truth. I accept it as truth. I accept your words as they are. And plus, nahite bhagavan vyaktim, I accept you as the personality of Godhead, as Bhagavan. So as we heard, before, there should be no addition, no subtraction, no interpretation. So this is what this verse is about. As it is. And I accept each and everything, sarvam. That's why no subtraction. And we know that this is the problem with most of the non-devotees who study Bhagavad Gita, is they accept some parts of the teachings and some parts they don't accept. Like when Arjuna says this, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. So they think it's a misprint. Because they cannot understand. So this is how. So this is the parampara. It's a system for understanding the truth. And it begins from Arjuna, Prabhupada explains. As described in the fourth chapter, the parampara system of disciplic succession for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost. You remember that? Yes. And therefore, Krishna re-established that disciplic succession with Arjuna because he considered Arjuna his intimate friend and a great devotee. So how does that re-establishment of the parampara occurs here? Is that Arjuna is getting the knowledge from within. He is becoming self-realized. And then he will be able to actually start. When the parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. What means emulated? Followed. We should do like Arjuna. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to follow in the footsteps of Arjuna. Now this verse also tells us something more. Neither the demigods nor the demons can understand your personality. So already we heard that in the beginning of the 10th chapter, 10:2, that the devas, the maharishis, they cannot understand you. So now he's adding one more category in the line. The Danavas, the demons, they also cannot understand. And they are particularly disqualified to understand you. This verse also confirms that demoniac people cannot understand Krishna. And in the purport to verse 15, Srila Prabhupada is going to insist that the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, should not be heard from atheists. It is completely useless to go and listen to some scholar explaining the Bhagavad Gita in some conference somewhere. Because Bhagavad Gita must be received from a devotee. One who is a devotee and who practices devotion. Then we can actually get the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says mental speculation is a sin. Then we go to 15. Swayam evatman atmanam vithatvam purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate. So here we have further realizations of Arjuna. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. Swayam eva manatmanam vittatvam. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. So he's having further realizations and he's calling Krishna by more names. He has his realizations and he reveals that to us. So what is it that he has realized here? That Krishna is Purushottama. I think he had used that one time before. Purushottama. So what is Purushottama? is the Supreme Person, the greatest of all persons. And Prabhupada explains that this refers to Bhagavan, but not just Bhagavan, just the Supreme Person where? In this world? You are the greatest sage, you are the greatest person in this world, you are the greatest authority. Some people, Mayavadis, they accept these words like Purushottama to mean the greatest authority in this world, but that's not exactly what Arjuna is meaning here. He means Purushottama is the supreme person, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme person. He's the Lord. Prabhupada says in the purport, sometimes the impersonalists accept Krishna as Bhagavan. But in their mind it means they also call Narada Bhagavan, Vyasadev Bhagavan, because Vyasadev is an incarnation of Krishna. But any person who is a great teacher, great special personality, is quite, not easily, but they are known as Bhagavan. So, but this is not what is meant here. And then he continues more, because if he says Purushottama, it's a little vague, so he keeps adding more and more and more words. Bhuta Bhavana. What is Bhuta Bhavana? He's the father of all the living entities. He's the origin of all the beings. And then he continues, because, you know, again, for those who are not devotees, so okay, he's God, fine. All right. But he is the origin of your own self. He's your father. All right. Okay. So the next he comes down. Then it is Bhutesha. That means he's the Lord. He's the Isha. He's the controller. Don't you know? He's the controller of everything. Who believes that? Well, Deva. He is worshipped by the demigods. He is the Lord of the demigods. He's talking about Krishna here. Yeah, he's in front of him. He's talking about Krishna. Yes. I mean, in one sense, you know, there is no difference between Krishna and the... He is realizing, we said that before, he realizes, first of all, that Krishna is transcendental. He is realizing that Krishna is the Lord, and he has understood that Krishna is the Paramatma, or the Paramatma is we will hear actually in the end of this, that Krishna will say that the Paramatma is one of my expansions. So he's realizing these things. Yeah. Well, he's realizing that Krishna is the Lord, you know. And Krishna is going to give him more knowledge. He explains all his vibhutis, and in the end he says, I am the source of all this, but not personally, because I have other things to do. I do that through just a little fragment of myself.
Another thing that Prabhupada is giving on the Anuradha Prabhupada, repeating the Mayavadi concept.
Yes.
Somebody in Mayavadi said that Krishna was speaking about Mayavadi, is different from that somebody else. And so Prabhupada is sitting everywhere, it is not different from the same Krishna.
Yes.
And so it's the same Prabhupada is sitting there for
Yes. Yes, it is that Krishna. And he is the Supreme Lord, and he is the Father of all living entities, and he puts all these words together to stamp him very nicely. This is what he is. It's complete. And then he finishes with Jagatpati. He is the Lord of the universe, the proprietor of everything. So, and then there is one more thing that Arjuna says. is that Krishna is the only one who can know himself. No one can know him because he's so extraordinary. And how does he know himself? Through his own internal potency. He knows himself through his own self. And no one else can know him. But the devotees have an idea. And how do they develop the idea? Prabhupada says, Krishna can be known by persons who are in a relationship with him through the discharge of devotional service. Because as Krishna is revealed, because we heard that the other day, that Krishna, was it here that we heard this? Oh no, it was on Radhastami. I gave a lecture, I was speaking of Krishna's internal potency of Sandhini, Samvit, and Hladini, the three areas of Krishna's internal potency. And it says that through the Sandhini Shakti, he sustains his existence, his dham, his form, his activities, his eternal associates. He sustains them through his potency of existence. And then there is the Samvit Shakti, which is his potency of knowledge of awareness. And it says that through this potency, he can know himself. Through his potency, he is aware of his own existence and he knows himself. And there is a second function of the Samvit potency, which is that through this potency, the jivas can know him. So through the Samvit Shakti, he knows himself, and it is also through the Samvit Shakti that the jivas can know him. So by devotional service, we come close to Krishna and we become invested with this internal potency. And once it is with us, we can know him. Otherwise, because he is only revealed through his internal potency. And unless we somehow come under the influence of that potency, we don't have the ability to know him because he is covered. Then in the next verse, Arjuna is going to make a request. He wants to hear more. He wants to know more about Krishna's opulences. More refers to, you remember what it refers to? When he says, I want to know more of your opulences, it's more than what? He wants to know his powers. But where did we hear his powers before? In the seventh chapter. Yeah, okay, it could be that also. Yeah, but it's in the very beginning of the chapter, Krishna said, I'm going to tell you more. So he says, yes, yes, Arjuna wants to hear more. Vaktum arhasya sheshena divya hyatma vibhutayaha yabhir vibhuti bhir lokan imam svam vyapyatishtasi. So the word that is used here is asheshena, which means in detail. More. Please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. How you are pervading, vyapya, vyapya, vyapi means all pervading. So how is it? How Krishna pervades the world through his potencies, his vibhutis. He wants to know of his all pervading nature. And why does he want to know that? Prabhupada says in this verse, it appears that Arjuna is already satisfied with his understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So why does he? What is he asking for more than if he is already happy? For the common people, yes, Prabhupada says. This is being asked by Arjuna on behalf of the common people, those who are not very advanced. And what are all these vibhutis? It's actually the manifestations of Krishna in this world. And those who are not advanced, they cannot see the beautiful form in transcendence. So they have to learn to see Krishna everywhere in this world. So now Prabhupada has already told us this purpose. It's for the common people so that they can understand him. And Arjuna is telling us of his own purpose in 17. Katham vidyamaham yogims tvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu chabhaveshu chintyosi bhagavan maya. O Krishna, O supreme mystic, he is addressing Krishna as yogin, O supreme mystic. How shall I constantly think of you? And how shall I know you? In what various form are you to be remembered, O supreme personality of Godhead? Bhagavan, he's addressing him as Bhagavan. And what is his main concern? Well, his main concern is that Krishna said that we should, here he's talking of how can I know you and how can I remember you? Because this is what Krishna has told him, that is the perfection. If you want to come to me, you should remember me at the time of death. So he is very much concerned, how can I bring that remembrance? And how can the common people come to this point of remembering you? Acharya says that this refers to what he told in the 8th chapter, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasaha. For one who always remember me without deviation, then what happened? Tasyaham sulava parta nitya yuktasya yoginaha. I am easy to obtain. So Arjun wants to reach that point. He has well understood the teachings. And he is asking, sada parichintayan, always remembering you. How can I... This is the ultimate process to achieve Krishna. So how can I get there? What are the different forms that I could contemplate? Prabhupada explains that the common man, they can't see anything transcendental. So they have to perceive Krishna as he is manifested in physical representations and so on. Prabhupada says, the common man who has no love for Krishna cannot always think of Krishna. Therefore, he has to think materially. Can't fix his mind on the transcendental form. Arjuna is considering the mode of thinking of the materialistic persons in this world. Keshu, keshu, chabhaveshu, refer to material nature. And bhava here means physical things. Because materialists cannot understand Krishna spiritually, they are advised to concentrate the mind on physical things and try to see how Krishna is manifested by physical representations. This is the idea. So in other words, we see Arjuna here, even though he is speaking directly to Krishna and he's asking, how can I remember you? But actually, Prabhupada explains that he is in a merciful mood. It's the mood of already distributing this mercy that he is himself experiencing. He wants that people should know him. And because he knows why people cannot see Krishna, They are under ignorance. They are covered by the illusory potency of Krishna. And Krishna himself, we heard, he is covered by his own yoga maya. And in this way, people cannot know him. Therefore, he is addressing Krishna as yogin. And Prabhupada explains, what is yogin? He says he addresses Krishna specifically as yogin because Sri Krishna is the master of the yoga maya energy by which he is covered and uncovered to the common man. So he's actually praying that, oh my Lord, as we look at the world, please draw the curtain away and let us perceive your manifestation there. Then he repeats more or less the same request by using a different word this time instead of asheshena, which means in detail. He is using the word vistarena. Same. Vistarena atmano yogam vibhutim chadanardana bhuya karhata bhuya kathaya triptirhi svinvato nasti me mritam. O Janardhan, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. Yogam Eshwaram, remember? Krishna had explained. So he wants to see this. But why? So in the previous verse, Prabhupada explains why he wanted to know. For the benefit of the people, how they can remember Krishna, how they can get to him. But now in this verse, he's saying, for me now, why I want to hear all this? I am never satiated in hearing about you. For the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Arjuna is in ecstasy. He wants. He's very greedy. He has become greedy. Yes, transcendentally greedy. So why he wants to hear? Because he is on a different platform. And as Krishna speaks, he is tasting nectar. Because he is realizing everything that Krishna says now. So he's tasting that. So he's eager to hear. For him, it is ever fresh. It is delightful. And it is directly perceived. You remember? Pratyaksha vagarmam dharmyam. So that's what's going on for him. At the same time, Arjuna is explaining that there are two utilizations of Krishna Katha. One is for the neophyte. It enlivens the neophyte and it somehow it helps them to advance. And for those who are Paramahansas, as we know, they still hear Krishna Katha. Not because it's helping them to get liberated, but because in the liberated state, that is the proof that Krishna and his Katha are beyond the liberated state, are beyond the Brahman. Because even those who are liberated, they enjoy it. Like the Chatur Kumar, who smelled the fragrance of Tulsi mixed with the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet. They were stunned. They said, how can it be possible that we are attracted to this fragrance? They could see the form of the Lord. And they could smell the fragrance. And they knew themselves to be completely detached from material affairs. They were never attracted to material fragrance. They were never, ever feeling like, you know, feeling happy or enthused in the presence of material fragrance. They were beyond the Brahman. And suddenly, they were completely enchanted by that fragrance. So their intelligence guided them to understand that this is not a material form. Otherwise, we would not be attracted. So this is the Paramahamsas. When they hear Krishna Katha, they directly perceive Krishna and they experience extreme happiness. Prabhupada says, Vayam tunavitripyam uttama shloka vikrame yat srindatam rasagnanam swadu swadu pade pade. This is the words of the devotees in the Naimi Sharanya, said that we can never be satiated, even though one continuously hears the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, who is glorified by excellent prayers. Those who have entered into a transcendental relationship with Krishna relish at every step the description of the pastimes of the Lord. Swadu, swadu. It is very, very sweet. So, and you can see here, Arjuna has used the same word that Krishna had used in the very beginning, bhuya, shrinvata, because Krishna told him, hear again. And now Arjuna says, yes, 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 I want to hear again. Yes, I want now. I agree, I fully surrender, I want to hear. So this Krishna Katha is amritam. It is nectar. As opposed to the mundane katha, which is dull, boring. We always... So this is why all the people in front of the TV there, they don't look very enlightened, because it's not enlivening them, it's just making them dull, you know, shuts them down. So it puts them in contact with the tamas inside and they completely switch off. Yeah, they are in meditation, but on the wrong object. So Prabhupada explains in the end of this purport that this Krishna Katha is the particular revelation, or is particularly revealed through the Puranas. Because if you search through the Vedas, you're not going to find Prabhupada has given us the excerpts. You know, it's not like super enchanting, you know. But mostly this Krishna Katha is revealed through the Puranas, Prabhupada explains. The Puranas are histories of bygone ages that relate the pastimes of the various incarnations of the Lord. So then Krishna starts his opulences. He agrees. He says, Hanta, Hanta, Hanta. So here Krishna says, Prabhupada explains, Hanta means yes. Does it mean yes in Sanskrit? Hanta, yes, yes, okay. Yes, yes. It means Hanta, Hanta. Ha Hanta, Ha Hanta, Katam Nayami. Oh, when will I see you? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Hanta Te Katayishyami, Divya Yatma Vibhutayaha, Pradhanyatah Kuru Shrestha, Nastyanto Vistarasyame. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. So Krishna agrees here, and he explains first of all that my opulences, I will tell you, but my opulences, they are divine, divya. And then they are unlimited. There are so many opulences. So therefore, I will only nasti anto. There is no limit to my opulences, and they are divine. So because of that, actually, they are divine. So they are unlimited. So therefore, O Kurushrestha, I will only tell you about this pradhanyataha, which means The principal ones are things which are exceptional. Otherwise, we can understand that everything is his opulence. So he's going to pick very exceptional opulences. Otherwise, everything we see, it is his opulence. Srila Prabhupada explains in the end of the first paragraph what kind of opulences he is referring to. Vibhuti, as used in this verse, refers to the opulences by which he controls the material manifestation. Okay? He is not going to be talking about Golok Vrindavan exactly. He's going to talk about, because we heard, it's how the common man can know him. So therefore, it is the opulences by which he controls the material manifestation. And Prabhupada says in the Amar Kosha dictionary, a Sanskrit dictionary, it is stated that Vibhuti indicates an exceptional opulence. Both in the material world and in the spiritual world, his energies are distributed in every variety of manifestation. Now Krishna is describing what can be directly perceived by the common man. Now, what is the principle for hearing? Prabhupada explains here. What is the principle when we hear? Yeah, we should relish means that when we hear, we shouldn't just be trying to accumulate some information or trying to accumulate some knowledge. We should especially try to appreciate. We should develop appreciation. We should appreciate taste. So we are receiving knowledge, and it's good. But the main motive should never be to become like, you know, a big box full of knowledge. That's not the goal. Because our goal is always to achieve Krishna. So our goal should be to develop taste, appreciation, and to relish, to become happy in hearing. Because this is what is going to save us from this material world. Prabhupada explains, the senses of the individual soul are limited and do not permit him to understand the totality of Krishna's affairs. So we can't just say, yes, I'm going to hear and understand everything. It's not possible that we will ever understand. Still, the devotees try to understand Krishna, but not on the principle that they will be able to understand him fully at any specific time or in any state of life. Rather, the very topics of Krishna are so relishable that they appear to the devotee as nectar. Thus the devotees enjoy them. In discussing Krishna's opulences and his diverse energies, the pure devotees take transcendental pleasure. So we should head in that direction. To simply hear, to transform our heart, to develop attraction for Krishna, and to become like one of those great devotees who simply emerged in Anandam Buddhivardhanam, in the ocean of bliss, in contact with Krishna through sound. So now Krishna will begin here listing about 80 of them, 80 opulences, one after the next. Many things that we have already heard about are great manifestations in this world. Now Krishna is going to claim, I am this, I am this, I am this. They all represent him, We can understand His power, His greatness in those things. So the first thing He says, and first of all He goes to the root of all existence, He says, Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhuta Shastha Stitaha Aham Adischa Madhyamcha Bhutanam Anta Evacha. I am the Super Soul, Atma. Atma refers to the Super Soul, O Arjuna, whom He calls, how does He call Arjuna? Gurakesh. O Arjuna, I am the Super Soul seated in the hearts of all living entities, Sarva Bhuta Chayastitaha. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings, Adi, Madhyam, Anta, Bhutanam. So why does He call Arjuna Gurakesh? Yeah, he has conquered sleep, and then what this has to do? He has conquered ignorance. Now he's ready to hear more. Yes. In other words, he's stating one, qualification of Arjuna, or qualification to actually appreciate and hear these opulences. Because many people will read this and, you know. But if one is free from ignorance, and what does it mean, free from ignorance? If one has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord, then as He presents all these opulences, one will relate and will actually start seeing the world completely connected to Krishna. One will not be bewildered anymore. But first one has to understand that I am Krishna's servant and He is the Supreme Lord. Then we can understand this section. So this is to help us here. So Krishna is the Super Soul, which means, well, He is Mahavishnu. This is Prabhupada says, it is how He controls, creates, destroys this entire cosmic manifestation. Three Vishnus. So this is things that we... that we hear all the time. He is the soul of the universe. And as we heard before, unless He is there, the universes do not evolve. They do not develop. So Prabhupada is giving some references here. Again, why? Because Krishna is saying so many things. So Prabhupada is backing Him up with the Upanishads. You must see that so many times Prabhupada is always backing with the Upanishads. Why is that? It's the Shruti Praman, yes. And even the impersonalists are supposed to accept the Shruti Praman. So here it says, as stated in the Subal Upanishad, Prakrityari Sarva Bhutantaryami Sarva Sheshi Cha Narayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing as the Super Soul in all manifested universes. And then, in the Satvata Tantra, Vishnu Stutri Nirupani Purushakyanyato Vibhu Vidu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests three features, Trini Rupani, Karanodakashai Vishnu, Garbodakashai Vishnu, and Kshirodakashai Vishnu. And then in the Brahma Samhita, Ya Karanarnava Jale Bhajati Sma Yoga Nidram. The Supreme Lord Krishna, the cause of all causes, lies down in the cosmic ocean as Maha Vishnu. So He is the Super Soul, and this is how also He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. This also refers to how The super soul of Vishnu creates the universe. But here he says also, he says in reference to all the beings, the bhutanam, he is the middle, beginning and end of all living beings. Means that he is the original father, he is their maintainer, and he is death. So he is, it's the beginning and end of all the living entities. There will be another verse where he will say, I am the middle, the beginning and end of the material elements. So here it's a little different, is how all the living entities originate from him.
Adityanam aham Vishnur Jyotisham Raviram Chuman Marichir Marutam Asmi Nakshatranam aham Shashi.
Of the Adityas I am Vishnu, of lights I am the radiant sun. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi, and among the stars, I am the moon. So, who are the Adityas? The sons of Aditi and Kashyapa Muni. They are all demigods. And amongst them, I am Vishnu. Who is this Vishnu? Aditi was the mother of a special son, Vamana. Yes, so this refers to, amongst the Adityas, I am Vamana. That's an incarnation of the Lord. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. So this is the controversy, the challenge here thrown to the scientist, the Prabhupada gives in the purport, that the sun is the main luminary in the sky. That's why Krishna says, of all the luminaries, I am the sun. Because the sun is supposed to be actually the only sun in the universe. And all the other, what are called stars, Prabhupada said, they are like the moon. The moon is classified as a star. Means that it reflects the light of the sun. So according to the Vedas, there's only one sun. And everything else is reflecting its light. So this means that the original light, it emanates from the sun. As we know, in the sun there is Surya Narayan. And this light is a reflection from the Brahma Jyoti. And through Surya Narayan, through the sun, the light spreads all over the universe. Whether it's in the beginning of time, or whether it's now, in any case, the connection is that the sun is the origin of light in the universe. So this is a challenge for the scientists. And it's a challenge for the devotees also, because we have to accept some facts which are not corroborated by the scientists. So sometimes some devotees cannot accept the Vedas and Krishna consciousness just based on this fact that some things are said there. There is a story of Prabhupada, he had a servant. What was his name? Purushottam was, yes. His servant Purushottam he had. He was doing his massage. And then in the early 70s, what was there? There was the first landing on the moon. And Purushottam was totally excited. He was an American, and there had been this big, competition between America and Russia. At the time, Russia was a huge congregation of countries, and there were two big powers in the world. There was Russia, and there was America. And Russia had been the first in space with Gagarin, as they call him. Gagarin, very good. Yuri Gagarin. So the Russians were the first in space and the Americans were fuming. But the Americans made it first on the moon. At least that's what they said. But Prabhupada didn't say, he didn't agree. He said no. And then they sent the pictures of a sort of a desert with Kratiers. You know, Kratiers?
Yeah.
Critters. So, so Prabhupada said, this is not the moon. So when there was the landing of the moon, Purushottam was so eager that he wanted to watch it on the TV, so that he had arranged the TV, and he wanted Prabhupada to watch it because it was so great, you know. So he arranged for the television in the room where Prabhupada was going to take his massage. And then what Prabhupada did is that instead of putting his head in the direction of the TV, he put his feet. He was looking the other way. And Purushottam was saying, no, no, Prabhupada, you have to watch it. Prabhupada said, you watch. So he was massaging Prabhupada, and he was saying, Prabhupada, that's it. They're coming out of the thing. And Prabhupada was saying, how many are they? What are they doing? And Purushottam was describing how they are walking on the moon and this and that. And Prabhupada said, and how does the moon look? And Purushottam said, oh, it looks like a desert. Srila Prabhupada said, a desert? That's not the moon. Prabhupada said, they landed on Rahu. So Purushottam was so, like, he was so excited, and Prabhupada didn't give a damn, you know. So he was a bit frustrated. And then in the next few days, Prabhupada was laughing at Purushottam that, you know, he believes that they have gone on the moon. And Prabhupada started really, like, repeating this very vehemently, that they have not gone on the moon, because the description of the moon is not that. And they have not gone on the moon. And it says that you cannot reach the heavenly planets by mechanical means. You need punya. These people don't have the punya. They can't get on the moon. You don't get on the moon with this kind of dress they have, the astronauts. You get there with a heavenly body, very beautiful. You say, what do they look like? They look like monsters, bro, but that's not the moon. So then one day, a couple of days later, Purushottam was cooking in the kitchen something for Prabhupada, and I don't know what happened, something exploded or something, and the ghee was burning, it exploded something, and it jumped in his face, and he came out of the kitchen, and he was all black, and Prabhupada started laughing, and he said, Purushottam has gone to the moon! So we hear this story very, you know, lovingly, but the fact is that Purushottam couldn't handle it, and he left Krishna consciousness because he couldn't handle this fact. And this was a big challenge for Prabhupada's disciple when there was the moon landing, and Prabhupada said, they have not landed on the moon. Now, who will you believe? The whole world is clapping the landing on the moon. And Prabhupada is one man in America who is saying that they haven't gone to the moon. And of course, as you know, a few years ago, there was a whole presentation that was made to actually prove that they have not gone to the moon. And this was not made by devotees. It was made by people who are always spying and so on, who said that this thing was filmed somewhere in Colorado and it never existed, that landing on the moon. They call it the moon landing hoax or something like this. So, but Prabhupada was very, very strong with his presentation. As he said, he was very liberal in some ways, but he was never compromising with the principles that this is it. It's not the moon. So this is difficult for us to, when we preach, this is something that, you know, there is only one sun in the universe, and the moon is a star. So we have to somehow be convinced and not too much worried about this. So Prabhupada says that the light from the sun is a reflection of the Brahma Jyoti, which is the reflection of the bodily luster of Krishna, As such, it is the glowing effulgence of the Lord. It is also known as one of the eyes of the Lord. The Lord sees in this world, so one of his eyes is the sun. And then there is the Maruts. Amongst the Maruts, I am Marichi. The Maruts, they are sons of Diti, I think. Also Aditi, they were cut in pieces, isn't it? Yeah. They were cut in pieces.
Diti,
yes, Diti. They were sons of Diti. So they are wind gods. They are Upadevatas, lower gods. They are wind gods. There are 50 of them. And the head of them, main one, is Marichi. Is the controlling deity of the wind gods. Marichi is the controlling deity of the heavenly space, the heavenly spaces, because they are devatas. 22. Vedanam sama vedosmi devanam asmi vatsavah indriyanam manaschasmi bhutanam asmi chetana. Of the Vedas, I am the Sama Veda. Of the demigods, I am Indra, the king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am the living force or consciousness. So why the Sama Veda? Because out of all the Vedas, the Sama Veda contains the chants, and particularly Hari Kirtan is contained in the Sama Veda. And it includes a lot of poetry, beautiful descriptions of Hari. It recommends God realization through singing. And it is also said that when Garuda flops his wings, the hymns of the Sama Veda are heard. That means, flaps his wind when he carries Vishnu. Garuda carries Vishnu, and as Garuda is flying, we hear the hymns of the Sama Veda, which are praises of Hari. Why is he Indra? Well, because he's the head, he's the king, he reigns. So that's, he symbolizes the Lord. Why is he the mind? Among the senses, most powerful of all the senses, and we said he's the center of all the controller, he's the controller and the center of all the senses. Chetana is consciousness. In the living being, I am the living force, the Chetana, the consciousness. The Prabhupada says that this consciousness is not coming from matter, it's coming from Krishna. It's Him, it's His manifestation. That is the first proof of God, or the first proof of something supramundane, is the consciousness. It's not material, and that comes from Krishna. Rudranam Shankaras Chasmi Vitesho Yaksharakshasam Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi Meru Shikarinamaham. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvera. Of the Vasus, I am Fire, Agni. And of mountains, I am Meru. So, who are the Rudras? They are what? They are expansions of Shiva. Shiva expands in 11 Rudras. And these 11 Rudras, they are the ones who destroy everything at the end. When there is the Pralaya, the Rudras, they destroy all the universe. Yeah, came Rudra, and there were 11 expansions. Yes, so he's So Shiva is the chief of them. Kuvera, the lord of wealth, the chief treasurer of the demigods. So naturally, he represents Krishna, whose potency is the goddess of fortune. And then, of the Vasus, there are 8 Vasus. Of them, he is the head, Agni. And of the mountains, I am Meru. What is Meru? Meru is very, Meru Parvat, very famous, stands at the middle, in the middle of Jambudvip in Bhumandala. And everything, it's the center, the middle of Bhumandala, reputed to be very, very tall. That's why, of the mountains, I am Meru. It's the highest mountain. And Prabhupada says, rich in natural resources, and it is sometimes moving. Shikarinam, these are mountains, peaks, very high peaks. Purodhasam samukhyam mam vidhiparta brihaspatim senarinam aham skanda sarasamasti sagaraha. Of priests, O Arjun, know me to be the chief, Brihaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya. And of bodies of water, I am the ocean. So why is Brihaspati? Why is he Brihaspati? He is the priest of Indra, and Indra is the head of the demigods. Therefore, he is the head of all the priests. So he represents Istra. See, prominent figures he's giving. And then Skanda, the son of Parvati and Shiva, is the chief of all the military commanders. Remember that. Of commanders I am?
Skanda.
No, Dattatreya. Kartikeya, sorry. Kartikeya. So, yes. Nice. So maybe for the next exam we'll have a few fill in the blanks.
No. Only Skanda.
No. Only one blank. Of commanders I am. Okay. So what else? Interesting here is the ocean. That is the greatest body of water. We heard of the qualities of the ocean. Very deep, never disturbed. So many rivers enter into it, but he remains the same. It is also said of the devotees, all the dhiras who remain peaceful in spite of numerous material influences, they are called Prashanta Mahasagara. Okay, I see that everyone is kind of losing their interest here, so we will continue tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you very much.